morning, everybody, and welcome to Church on the Rock. We're so excited that you're here today. As many of you know, me and my family were on vacation just recently, and we so enjoyed our time. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to go rest, be refreshed, and spend time together. We made great memories, and we truly enjoyed our time. For the month of June, our leadership team decided, let's give some of our other pastors the opportunity to speak into the lives of our church family. And I know that you've been in good hands, as you've heard from Pastor Derek, Pastor Charlie, and today you get the opportunity to hear from Pastor Dan. I cannot wait to get back with you next Sunday. I'm so excited and energized. God's been doing some great things in my life, and he's putting some things in my heart that I'm really energized to be able to share with you guys next Sunday. Today, I'm actually speaking in a friend's church on the other end of the city, and I'm excited to be there. But next week, I can't wait to get back with you. Today, Pastor Dan, who you're going to hear from, is such an incredible asset to our church. He really is an incredible leader who does so much behind the scenes that many of you don't get the privilege and opportunity to see. His role and title here at Church on the Rock is our marriage and family pastor. What he and his wife Kim do for our ministry is remarkable. They pour their lives into the lives of you and those of us that call Church on the Rock home. They serve in many different areas with our youth department and children's department. But their great passion and their great heart is to serve in the lives of those looking into marriage or those that are in marriage. They love to invest into relationships the way that God designed them to be. So they do all of our premarital coaching. They do much of the investing into the lives of those that have need in relationship areas. And we're excited about all that God is bringing to our ministry because of them. I want to ask you, Church on the Rock, if you would, put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Pastor Dan Olina. Oh,
what a nice guy. Yeah, that's fine.
Whoa.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. I thought I'd help by just sitting down with you. I tend to wander when I talk. You can ask my wife that. And I could be back in the back or over there or over there. So I just decided I'd sit down today. Is that okay? All right. Isn't Pastor Josh a great guy? I want you to know how much he loves you and pours out his life for all of you throughout the week, not just on Sundays, but every day. Even his day off, his thoughts and prayers are with you guys. So I know he is just chomping at the bit and ready to get back to serve you guys. Amen. He's a good guy. All righty. Well, how many of you know that every good and perfect gift comes from God? Amen. We kind of heard that in our worship set this morning, which is awesome. Let's give it up for the worship team. I really like that song that they do because it truly, I am amazed with how much God loves me. You know, so I'm gonna kind of talk this morning in that sense of God's love for us. It just blows me away. If you were here last week, Pastor Charlie spoke, and he spoke about how we were adopted into God's family. That once we accept Christ into our heart, that we're adopted into his family, and we're actually his children. We're actually his children. And he also taught us that that's irrevocable. So that can't be taken away, period. Nobody can drag us from the love of God, which is really, really cool. And it makes me feel kind of good to know that my Father in heaven, I mean, he's all that in a bag of chips, right? He is really, really cool, and he's got really good gifts for you all. And so the big idea that I wanted to share with you guys is that things that come for him are good. Good. So let's take a look at, I've got a ton of scriptures. I think they put them some of them in your notes today. Morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
How's the parking lot team?
Everything is cool in the motor pool.
All right. I want to look at James 1:17, and it says, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God. Notice it doesn't say mediocre. Notice it doesn't say bad things, nasty things. It says whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God. I know for many of us, sometimes we think God is this big ogre, just kind of out there and about, you know, stomping down on us. How many of you ever fried ants with a magnifying glass? Nobody? You don't know what you're missing out. Well, there's one. Thank you very much. You know, God's not up there with a magnifying glass looking down on us, trying to fry us or make our lives miserable. He's not going over to our little homes. I can remember doing this, you know, filling that dirt back in the ant hole, you know, just making their lives miserable. So God is not an ogre, all right? Whatever is good and perfect comes from us from God. He's also not schizophrenic. Many people think he's schizophrenic because he pours out blessings and then our lives fall apart. You know, well, what? I don't understand, God. Why would you do that? You know, I was doing really, really good. I had everything set. And I got my finances in order and my wife finally loves me. And then it just all went to pot. I don't understand. But it doesn't say that, does it? It says whatever is good and perfect comes from God. Amen. And that leads us into my second verse. And I love Jeremiah 29:11, and many of you know it. I have it from the Amplified Bible because I really like what it says. And as I read it, I really want you to insert your name in there. So I'm going to input your name, Charlie, if that's okay. It says, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, Charlie. Plans for peace, for well-being, and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." Whoa. I love that. Peace, well-being, not for disaster, and to give you a future and a hope. And I tell you, for me, I'm really here today, and I believe this with all my heart, because God does have plans for us, like it says in that verse. He has a plan for every single one of you here. I know that without a fact, you know, without a doubt. I can tell you I grew up going to church. I think I feel for the kids that our volunteers bring every week to church here, because these kids are always here. And I was always at church all the time. Missionary stuff, just tagging along with my father. He was an elder at church, and always there. Wednesday night youth group, Sunday night service, prayer service. I mean, it was endless. We just went. And I tell you, as I got a little bit older, I started kind of doing my own thing. And I wanted to live life. I love the Lord, and I certainly didn't want to go to hell. But I wanted to live the life that I wanted to live. And unfortunately, I kind of put God on a shelf and decided to do things my own way. And I'll talk a little bit about that more in a minute. But he had a future for me and a hope for me. And it just amazes people, and people who really know me and knew me as a youngster are flabbergasted that I'm here today. That I'm not in prison. I'm not dead. You know, but God had a plan for me. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, he has a plan for you. Whether you're acknowledging him or not, I certainly wasn't, but he acknowledges you and he loves you wherever you're at. So let that just settle in there for a minute. God has us here today. Amen. All right. Well, let's see what else the Bible says about this. John 10:10. If you're familiar with this verse, it's one of my great verses that I really like. And it's really a two-part type verse. And we're going to start off with the second half of John 10:10. And this is Jesus talking. And he says, "I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows." See, Christ's whole deal in coming to us is to not just to get us to squeak by in life. He didn't come to give us a mediocre life. He didn't come to bring us hassles and heartaches. He came to give us abundance to the fill. And so many people struggle with that. I certainly did. In my case, I just didn't believe it. And I'm here to tell you that doubt can steal away everything that God has for you. Period. It just will. And so I want to challenge y'all today to kick that doubt to the curb and really hear what God has to say about how can I have that life? Who wants abundant life? I do. I don't want to squeak from week to week or paycheck to paycheck or, you know, be happy one week and sad the next. I just want to live this life that God has to me. When I get to heaven and meet Jesus, I want to thank him, but I don't want to leave anything on the table down here, man. I want everything that he has for me. So many of us are going to get to heaven, and they give us a tour up there, and there's this building way off in the distance. It's gold. It looks really cool, and they usually don't take you into that building, but here's why, and you know, this is just the Holy Spirit telling me this stuff, right? No, man, it's all the stuff that God has for us. He goes, we usually don't take people in there because once they find their shelf with their name on it and all of the stuff that I had for them, they get kind of frustrated, so we don't take them in there and show them. You know, so don't get to heaven and realize there was all this stuff that God had for you, but you had a little bit of doubt. Amen. So live it to the fullest. I love that verse. I love it. And this is amplified. Enjoy life. Have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And don't let doubt be a stumbling block to you. But how many of you know that it's not all paved on easy street in our world, right? So we have a fallen world that we live in. And so there's some things and some problems that hinder us from having that abundant life. And so that's kind of what God wanted me to share with you today. And here's problem number one. How many of you know that we have an enemy? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't? But we have an enemy. And actually, I'm going to look at John 10:10, and we're going to look at the first half of it. And I think it's kind of interesting that when this was written by John, that he put it that way. He could have put the good part first and then the crappy part, but he flipped it because I think he wants us to know without a doubt that, hey, it's not me. That struggle that you're having in your life, that's not me. That's not me. That's the enemy. And so it says, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. Period. What's he going to steal, kill, and destroy? How about your hope, your future, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness? For some of you, self-control. For some of you, love. That's what he's doing. That's what the enemy does, is he tries to steal these things from you, and in essence, taking the life that Christ has for you. He's a stinker. Number two, we have this enemy. He's always on the move. I don't think he just sits around and picks on one person all the time, right? He's always on the move. 1 Peter 5:8, again from the Amplified, says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. So he's looking to devour you. He doesn't want you to have this wonderful, awesome life that Jesus has for you. His goal is to kind of wreak havoc in your life. And so that's what he's doing. So problem number one, we have an enemy. Number two, he's on the move. He's going to search you out. He's not stationary, or you just can't go and find him. He's out roaming around looking for you guys. And number three, unfortunately, and I'm speaking to me here, we're the cause. We're the cause. So not only do we have to, you know, have this war with our enemy, which we have won, by the way. Amen. Yay, we've won that war. But we got to deal with ourselves occasionally. And I certainly have struggled in this area quite well. And I debated not to throw this in here, but the Holy Spirit said, throw it in there. So I'm going to throw it in there. Number one, we're the cause. Habitual sin. Sometimes we just sin over and over and over and over and over again, right? And it could be something as simple as using the name of God in vain. You just swear all the time, right? It's a habit. You do it over and over and over again. You don't even think about it. It's a little thing like habitual sin catches the attention of the enemy, and he's more than ready to pounce on you when he finds you. And little things like that can steal God's blessing away from you. It's habitual sin, right? A long time ago, boy, I sure like to swear. That's what I did. You know, how many, you get around people that swear, you start swearing, and it just rubs off, and everybody's saying, it's just, as my son would say, he'd talk like a sailor, right? So, you know, if this is an issue in your lives, the first thing is, oh yeah, that's an issue in my life, and let the Holy Spirit start to work in you, and he start to work in me, and pretty soon, I got a handle on that. And I don't do that anymore. Isn't that awesome? God can do that in your lives too with any habitual sin that you might have. It doesn't have to be these big, huge sins. You know, the Bible says anything contrary to God is sin. You know, sometimes we think it's murder or stealing or things like that. But it's just the little things that will steal that away from us. Romans 6:12 says, "Do not let sin control the way of your life. Do not give in to sinful desires." Plain and simple. For the longest time, I had that underlined in my Bible. Do not give in to sinful desires, whatever they are. All right? All right, number two under this, I put down not his way, but mine, or failing to surrender. And that's exactly what I did growing up in church. I decided that I would just do things myself. And my wife will be at the second service, but if you would ask her, she would tell you that those years were just terrible. Terrible on our marriage. It's only because God had plans and a future for us that we're still married, I think 29 years almost. Almost 29 years. But it's by the grace of God, all right? Because it was not fun. It was terrible. But God has a plan for you. The reason I struggled with this is because I wanted to do everything my way. I wanted certain things, and I wanted to go do it, and God was kind of calling me, as he always does, and it's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do this thing. And Pastor Mark, a good old friend of mine, led me to this verse in Galatians 2:20. When you give your life to Christ, this is essentially what happens to you. It says, hey, you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ lives in you. And this life that you now live in faith, you live by God. And that was very hard for me to get. But that just really means when we surrender and give our lives to Christ, it really doesn't belong to us anymore. As Pastor Charlie said, we're adopted. As soon as we do that, we're adopted, and it's irrevocable. Right? It's irrevocable. But many times we still want to be in the driver's seat and not let the steering wheel go and let God do his thing. And that certainly, at times in my life when I did that, I didn't have a blessed, good, happy life. I just didn't. I was hindering that. And the enemy, again, pounces on things like that. So as he's roaring around and looking, he's looking for things that he can get a stronghold of. Because let me tell you, he's defeated. There's not a lot that he can do. But if he can see a slip-up in your life, he's going to pounce on it. He lists things, and he loves to use guilt, and he twists things to make it to his advantage. But other than that, he's useless. I love that. And then this last one that I have under this category would be you're sinning on purpose. Now, how many of you drive a car? How many of you, when you drive that car, never go over the speed limit? Me neither. I go over it all the time, right? So sinning on purpose. Well, let's look at Hebrews 10:26. This cracks me up. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So basically, to me, what that's saying is, look, I've given you my word. I've given you everything you need. And if you just take it and throw it aside, that sacrifice that my son made for you was just useless, right? You have to understand that sinning on purpose is a bad thing. And I'll get back to the car analogy in a minute, but a ministry teacher taught me this. In one instance, we're jumping in our car and we're speeding. So we're breaking the law, right? And as we're speeding and breaking the law, we're praying, God, please protect us as we drive to where we're going. Remember, God's not schizophrenic, even though sometimes we are. So you gotta stop doing that on purpose. And again, it doesn't have to be this big, huge, sinful deal in your life. It could be something stupid, you know, that God has really laid on your heart, and you get that sense that you're really not supposed to do something, and that's coming from the Holy Spirit, you know, and he's just doing that because he loves you, and he wants the best for you. He wants to give you that life that he's promised, and so I think he uses his Holy Spirit to kind of nudge at us. So if you get those nudges, that's him saying, hey, you're kind of veering off track a little bit, okay? All righty, so to get this blessed life, we've got to get, sometimes that we have this enemy who's prowling around, we have to understand that are actually, sometimes we're to blame in that aspect because of what we're doing. So I wanted to leave you on a good note, right? I don't want to take you down there and just beat you to death. But there are actually, what I've come up with, or what God has come up with, six steps that really ensure that you get the best from God. So I'm a steps guy. I like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So that's what I'm kind of sharing with you today. Number one, what to do to help you get that blessed life is understanding God's grace. And we sang about that this morning. Isn't it wonderful that Romans 5, it says that God demonstrates his own love towards you, because while you were still sinning, I sent my son to die for you. So his grace is just endless. We have to understand his grace. And it says, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, that grace is going to draw you near to him. It's going to draw you in. You're going to find favor in that. And more importantly, it's not going to allow for our roaming adversary to find us as much, because we're reflecting the grace of God, not only to him, but to everybody around us. So it's just this constant state of grace that we need to be in. In fact, Hebrews 13:9, it says, be established by grace. So it's kind of the foundation of our life with Christ. Once we acknowledge what he's done for us and we surrender and give up our lives for him, it's understanding that grace. And I think that's a process. You just don't automatically go, oh, I know what grace is. But it takes time. But understand and grow in God's grace. All righty. Number two, develop your faith. I think that's important. Now, interesting. Don't beat me up here, because I'm just as guilty. Your level of faith in your life equals the level of God's word in your life. So let me repeat that one more time. The level of faith in your life is equal to how much God's word is in your life. So if you're having problems with faith and you have more doubt than faith, maybe it's because you're not in God's word enough. There's just something supernatural about reading the Bible that it does supernatural things to our lives. Sometimes we don't even know what it's working. It's always working and feeding us. You know, I don't know how that Krispy Kreme donut nourishes my body, but it just does. You know, when you read God's word, yeah, I don't know how it works. It just supernaturally nourishes your body. So the level of God's worth in your life. And Romans 10:17 is just a great verse that many people pass over. I did for a long time, but it now makes sense to me. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't have much God's word in your life, you're not going to have much faith. And I can tell you again, just in my life, even walking correctly with the Lord, how he changes things in your life when you pick this thing up. It really is truly amazing. Supernatural. Cool stuff. So you need to read the word, believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word in your life. Cool? That will certainly help bring God's blessing and promises to your life. Alrighty. Number three, only 42 more to go. 42. Number three, this is a fun one, be a Jesus person. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me, I'm going to abide in him. And you're going to bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So it's really developing a deep and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not about religion. It's about a relationship with him. Just as you do your best friend. You know, we all have best friends out there. We have family. We seem to talk to them all the time. And we text them all the time. And we, you know, we love them. And that's the kind of relationship that your Heavenly Father wants with you. Just that simple. Getting that, having that relationship. And it takes work. It takes work. And I wish we could just all put on like spiritual glasses and see. You know, he's right beside you. He hangs out with you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all there with you. If you just see him, I think that might be helpful. But they're there. So have a relationship with them. When I was working at a church up in Michigan, one of the youth pastors decided that he needed more Jesus in his life. So he dated Jesus for a month. He would literally go to a restaurant and would let the waiter know that it'll be him and somebody else, and would actually have, you know, two glasses of water sent out, and he would sit there and carry on conversation with Jesus. You know, people thought he was nuts. But he would sit there and he'd read his word and he'd kind of pray out loud. And he did this for over a month. He goes, you know, I just needed to get more Jesus in my life. So I'm not asking you to do anything crazy like that. But maybe you talk to him a little bit more on your way to work, out for a walk. That's why I'm sitting, because when I get close to Jesus, he just wanders me all over the place. So just have a little bit more Jesus in your life. And again, the enemy hates that. And that will surely lead you into that blessed life. All right? Number four. And this is a tough one for many people. And it's forget the past. You got to forget the past. Isaiah 43:18 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. It's really learning to let go and move on. And that's one of the strongholds that the enemy loves. And really wants you to doubt and focus on your past or on your wrongs, because he steals God's grace away from you. He steals God's love away from you. And he does that because you can't let go. How many of you, if you haven't, seen the movie The Shack or read the book? What I really liked about that is, without giving much away, if you haven't seen it, the main character has kind of a bad past. He has a really bad past. And he meets God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they didn't make no mention of it. Not one thing. They just, man, when they showed up and met together, he just loved on them, and they carried on their day like they didn't even know that happened. You know, so God doesn't see that. He doesn't hold you accountable for that. And that's probably the greatest news. He's oblivious to it. He doesn't want you to think that he's mad at you or upset with you. He loves you. And that's just what we can't understand, is how much he loves you. So even in my life, when I mess up, you know, the enemy's quick to pounce on that and say, well, you're not worthy. God really doesn't love you. You don't deserve any of this. But it's like, wait a minute. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. My Heavenly Father says I do. Amen. So forget the past and move forward. And if you haven't seen that movie, because I don't like reading books, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. Number five, be quick to obey the Holy Spirit. I love that one. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. You know, we have this, and we often forget that the Holy Spirit resides in us with our Heavenly Father. And He's the one that we really are to let go to and let Him run our lives. Let Him be in the driver's seat. Let Him be in the driver's seat. It sounds easy. It can be hard. But He's always speaking with us if we just listen to Him. And there are many examples that I've heard, but I wanted to give you one that was just quite simple and helped me out. So last week was Father's Day, right? My father passed his stuff in January. And I had to go out, go through all this stuff. He lived in Phoenix, Arizona. So we flew out, got all this stuff. We got it loaded up in a big truck and brought it all to my house. That was quite an adventure. And so if you can imagine, I have boxes and totes in my garage. Boxes and totes throughout the house and in closets. They're just all over the place. I get up on Sunday morning and I remembered that one of the things that Dad had of me was a picture of him and I with arms around each other. And it was a very precious moment to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Father's Day. I've got to get that. I've got to find it. I got to be to church. I got to find this picture. What do I do? Where do I start? I just said, Lord, this means a lot to me. I'd really like to have that picture today. All right, I guess I'll start in the garage. So I go out to the garage, and as I see the just stacks of stuff, the Holy Spirit whispered to me, and He said, hey, it's right over there. What do you do with that? Do you just go with it? Or do you like, nah, I'm going to start over here. I don't know about you guys, but usually when I try to find something, it's the last place I look. It always is, typically. But you know what? I trusted God. You know what? I'm not gonna doubt this, and I got to get to church. I'll just go open that up and see. And sure enough, it was right there on top. And so I got my picture. So I was really happy. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to lead you astray. He's going to take you to where you need to go. Amen. We just have to listen to Him. And just have to do to it. Listen, one other quick story about that. I was at the grocery store one day, walking in, and God said, hey, I want you to pay for groceries. And I'm like, I don't want to pay for somebody's groceries. They're expensive. He goes, no, I need you to do this for me. And I'm like, all right, I'll do this for you. So in my mind, because I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, I'm looking for someone down and out that I need to buy groceries for, right? That's how funny. And so I see this poor old guy in this old scooter. You know, he's got like two things in his cart. And I'm like, oh, it's got to be him. It's got to be him. So, you know, we're kind of following him around, you know, waiting for him to go up to the register. And we keep following him around and we're getting our groceries. And he heads up that way and I head up that way. And I'm like, oh, all right, this is easy, Lord. Thanks. And then instead of taking a left into the checkout line, he bails off over that direction. And I'm like, well, I thought that was him. Okay. That's weird, Lord. And so I get up into the line and I get behind somebody that doesn't have any money. It's a lady and her little kid. And they look just like you and me. And she had run out of money and couldn't pay for her groceries. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. So anyway, I guess my point is, just be in tune and listen to the Holy Spirit. He will never steer you in the wrong direction. Amen. Amen. I like Corinthians 2:11. It says, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So God knows things you don't know. And I don't want to claim to know everything. So I'm thankful for that. God is awesome. All right, number six, the last one. Yes, the last one. Some of you don't like this one, but I didn't like it, and it goes back to my car story. Be teachable and submitted, not only to God's word, but those in authority over you. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. They'll they'll honor God's word and they understand his authority. But God's word says that we need to give honor and pay attention to those of everybody in authority over us, whether we like it or not. And if we can't do that, I know there are people that struggle in their lives, don't have that blessed life because they can't choke this one down. Titus 3:1, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officials, that they should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. So it's not so much about honoring the Lord and being obedient. It's those that he puts in authority over us, whether we like to or not. Remember, here we are disobeying those in authority over us that give us those stupid speeding limits. I wish they were higher. I really do. Especially the 45 miles an hour when everybody's driving 60 miles an hour. But God says that we need to be obedient. So if you're lacking in your personal life and you're like, I want this abundance that you're talking about, I want it to the fullest, it could be just something as simple as submission. All right? The second part of that is being teachable. And again, a friend told me to be fat. And I kind of took offense to that because I'm trying to lose weight. But he said, you got to be fat. I'm like, what do you mean be fat? That's rude. He said, you need to be faithful. You need to be available. And you need to be teachable. Fat. Faith, available, teachable. Right? Be faithful to God's word. Be available when he needs you. And then be teachable. Learn to be corrected. It's not that, any pastor, and they should never do this, stand up there and point fingers at people, because we're just as guilty as you guys are, right? But to know God's word and to just get right back into it. Amen? So I hope those six steps are helpful to you, because I really, really want you to get this life, this good life, this sweet life that Jesus promised to us. We don't just get it in heaven, people. You get it here. You get it here, right? So take the things I've shared today. Live life with passion to the fullest. It's what God has planned for you since the beginning of time. He says, plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen? All right. Can I get you all to stand for just a second? I'll even do it. I kind of like that chair, Charlie. It all starts with a relationship with Christ. Without that relationship with Christ, you can't have an abundant life. You just can't. You just can't. It's the natural and the supernatural working together. So it has to start somewhere. It has to start with our relationship with Jesus. And it would not make sense for me not to offer that today. Because there's always that one person in a church service that has never made a relationship with Christ. And today, I want that to be that person's day today. That they can now take Jesus on and now start working on that abundant life. And they will be changed forever. And I think God not only does that because he loves us, but because that's sticky. Right? That's sticky. We don't want to stick to icky things, but we sure like sticking to good things, to success and to happiness. So that's what Christ wants for us. So I want you to bow your heads just to honor God and honor those around you. And I'd like everybody to repeat after me this simple prayer. The reason I ask you all to do it is because I really want this person to use their mouth and to hear the words that they're speaking. Amen. And I don't want to single them out. So we'll just all do it. Amen. Father in heaven, we love you. Father, I want an abundant life. I'm tired of living life on my own. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. Jesus is who he says he is. Come into my life, Jesus. Take over and give me that sweet abundance. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, somebody did that today and I'm pretty excited about that. So let's encourage them. That was step number one, right? Woo-hoo. All righty. connection card in the seat back in front of you. I feel like an airline person. This is how we connect with you. We're not weird. We're not going to connect with you unless you want us to. But here's what this does. It allows us to pray for you. I don't know about you, but I need prayer. So it allows us to pray over you. So you can put prayer requests on here. You can tell us today that you decided to make Jesus the center of your life. Let us know so we can pray with you. Amen. When you're done with this thing, make sure you put your name on it. It's hard to, even though God knows you, we'd like to know who you are. Slip it in the giving boxes in the back. And I want to just give a shout out to everybody who gives. Most of you give online. Push Pay. That's a pretty cool app. If this is your first time here, we don't want anything from you. Nothing. Please do not give us any money. Connection card would be cool though, right? But God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. All right. Let me pray over you and you can go have your fun, okay? Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. It amazes me still every day how much you love us. It's just hard for me to believe. But Father, I ask that your blessing and your favor rains down, literally pour out over every single person in this building, Lord. And not only themselves, but their family members, their friends, their co-workers. Nothing is too small to you, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Go have a great day, guys.